Psalm chapter 119, verses 49 through 56. Psalm 119 is about the Word of God, its benefits, its work, its help to us who are God's children. Verse 49, Psalm 119, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy laws. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. All God's people said, Dear Heavenly Father, my hope, my desire is that in going through Psalm 119, that the Holy Spirit would birth in us a newfound, fresh desire and love for the Word of God. I pray that you would allow us to see the greatness of the Word, the magnificence of it, the help that we get from it, the revelation of God in it, and we would be quick to not allow anyone to bring reproach upon it. I pray that you would, in our day and age in which the Word of God is under attack, its sufficiency and its errancy is all being doubted. I pray that we here would love it, would trust it, would die for it. And I pray that these messages, this text, would do that in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I listened yesterday to a message by Andy Stanley, that's Charles Stanley's son, who seems to have taken the people of North Point Church in Atlanta into further apostasy. The title of his message was, "The Bible Tells Me So." And the thrust of his sermon was that you can be a child of God without believing everything in the Bible. It is not necessary that you believe everything in the Bible. You can have doubts and you can have concerns, and certainly you can believe archaeology and other things that would point toward disproving the Bible. You don't have to believe it all. You can still be a son of God. So you can deny that the walls of Jericho really fell. You can deny that David really killed a giant with a sling and a stone. You can deny that the flood ever happened. Deny that the Israelites passed through the Red Sea to Canaan land, because there's no archaeological evidence of that. You can deny a great fish swallowed Jonah. He said that our faith does not rest upon the Word of God. And the idea that the Bible says it and that settles it, that we've all heard, is a serious problem. You don't have to believe that stuff, and you don't have to defend that nonsense because you can be saved without believing the Bible. And that is a serious attack on the sufficiency of Scripture. That is a serious attack on the inerrancy of Scripture. Because something happens in the Bible that is more remarkable and more unbelievable than anything else. And that is a crucified man arose on the third day. If I can't believe that a fish swallowed Jonah, how can I believe a dead man raised from the dead? He said, Christianity does not exist because of the Bible. And I say, Christianity can't exist without the Bible. And that we cannot be a Christian without believing the Bible. If we truly think and believe that the Bible is God's breath, the very words of God, and there are words or things in there that don't have to be believed, that means God's a liar. And if God's a liar, He's not God. Somebody help me. Folks, that's not new age, newfangled stuff. That's apostasy, is what that is. But I guess you can draw a crowd when they don't have to believe the Bible. But let me give you tonight some things about the Word of God that are helps to us in tough times. How many of you have tough times? We all have tough times, right? Do you know the Word of God is a help to you in tough times as a believer in God? Let me share with you three things tonight where the Bible can help us in tough times. Number one, the Word of God gives us a promised hope. The Word of God gives us details for us, promises to us a future hope. Verse 49 through 51, remember the word unto thy servant. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The psalmist has read in the Scripture something that caused him to have hope. Future hope. And he says this, what he read that caused him to have hope, that's his comfort in affliction. Because for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Now, what I want you to see is his confidence. In the Word of God, there are many promises made to God's people. And the question that I have is, can God say anything that turns out to be wrong? Can God promise anything that He cannot bring to pass? Do the difficulties, the troubles, the trials that we go through, do those in any way make any of God's promises null and void? What can stop God from doing exactly what God said He would do? And the answer to that is what? Nothing. Whatever God promises, God will deliver. Not every promise is to us, but the promises that are to us, God has the power and has the authority to bring them to pass, and will. They're not like my promises and your promises. My promises and your promises are all filled with good intentions. However, there may be something that comes up that would prohibit us from keeping the promise. There's nothing to prohibit Almighty God from keeping every promise that He makes to His children. So how could we have hope in future blessedness if we don't have the Word of God. I wasn't there when God made the promises, and you weren't either. I only know the promises through the Word of God. And reading the Word of God, the psalmist says, gave him hope, caused him to have hope. How would we have confidence in anything in the Bible if God did not give us a hope? Or how could we have confidence in anything in the Bible if the God that gave us the promises can't fulfill the promises? You see, Andy Stanley's attack is not just on the Word of God, it's an attack on God Himself. The psalmist says the Word of God caused him to have hope. And his hope is in the person who made the promise. My confidence tonight is in God, isn't yours? My confidence is if I die tonight, my spirit and soul will be in the very presence of God Himself. And one day, my body will be raised from the dead and will be reunited with soul and spirit and will spend eternity in the very presence of God. That's my hope. And that hope I have full assurance in and full confidence in because it is God who promised me that hope. I am confident in God that what He said, He will do. But notice not only the confidence that the psalmist has in God, but notice his comfort. His comfort in this hope. And the comfort that he gets from the Word of God can't be touched by anything else. The afflictions, notice that he says, this is my comfort in my affliction. So the afflictions of his life cannot change what God has promised and cannot stop God from making it come to pass. Amen? Whatever happens on this earth, whatever difficulty or trouble that we face, it doesn't change God's Word. It doesn't change His promises to us, and it doesn't change God's ability to make it come to pass. You with me? No matter what happens, the psalmist's comfort is in God. The Word teaches us of God's power. It teaches us of God's sovereignty. It teaches us of God's immutability. It teaches us of God's almightiness. And in the midst of great personal affliction, there is comfort. From where? From the Word. Where should we go in affliction? To the Word. For there is comfort for us in the Word as we draw upon the confidence in God. He says here that it is the Word that has quickened him. The Word replenishes, restores, revives. Have you ever been down and downcast? Have you ever been depressed and discouraged because of the troubles and the trials that you have to go through in this life? Where do you find revival? Where do you find replenishment? Where do you find restoration? In the Word. Strength for the day comes from the Lord and from the Word. The blessings of comfort comes from the confidence we have in the God that we read of in the Bible. Our comfort comes not only from the promises, but it also comes from the power that God has to make the promises come true. Isn't it great that God loves us and God cares for us as sons? Affliction has an awful tendency to drag us away from the Word of God. Afflictions, troubles, trials, difficulties have this awful way of separating us from the Word of God, to cause us to shallowly focus our attention on ourselves and our problems instead of Him. You been there? Things get bad, things get difficult, things get crisis-like. All we can think about are the problems. All we can think about is us. We lose our sight of God. But the psalmist here says that the afflictions of life actually deepened his dependency on the Word of God. These afflictions that come into our life challenge our confidence in the Word of God. Is God who He says He is? Will God do what He says He will do? Is He all-powerful? Is He sovereign? These things that come into our life challenge what we believe about God. I'm reminded of the story, James Montgomery Boyce, who was at that time pastor of 10th Street Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, R.C. Sproul, who was pastor in Orlando, he might have been in Pittsburgh at that time, I'm not sure. They were on a plane, and the plane encountered this terrible portion of turbulence, and to the point that air masks dropped down and people were screaming and hollering, thinking the plane's going down. And R.C. Sproul said James Montgomery Boyce was over there just calm as a cucumber. And R.C. looked at him and said, "Man, aren't you scared? Don't you believe in us?" He said, "Aren't you frightened? Aren't you scared?" And James Montgomery Boyce looked at R.C. Sproul and said, "Well, R.C., don't you believe in the sovereignty of God?" And R.C. said, "Yes, that's why I'm frantic. God may be sovereignly taking us down." These things happen to challenge our confidence in the Word of God. He says He has not failed or declined from the Word. He will not allow the troubles of this life or the persecution for believing the Word separate Him from the Word of God. And why does He desperately cling to the Word? During affliction, during hard times, because He knows where His comfort comes from. He clings to the Word desperately during hard times because that's where His comfort is. God promises to reward His people and punish those who are not His people. We have to remember that God is going to take care of His people. Amen? And we have to be reminded of that. We have to be, that has to be continually reminded. And where do we get reminded of that? In the Word. In the end, the only thing that will matter will be what God's verdict is. Amen? It's all that will matter. What people say, right? He says here, "These people have derided me through great derision." Yet through great derision, he sticks with the Word of God because it doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't matter what they think, it doesn't matter what they do. In the end, it only matters what God says and what God thinks. Comfort comes from God. Comfort comes from the Word of God. When bad things happen, don't let the bad things divide you from the Word. Bury yourself in the Word of God. And be confident and be comforted in the promised hope of God to His children. Amen? Number two. The Word of God not only gives us a promised hope, but in verse 53 we see the Word of God gives us a passionate heart. As the psalmist reads the Word of God, something grips him, he says. Look at verse 53 again. "Horror hath taken hold of me because of the wicked that forsake the law." I want you to think about that passage for just a minute. Horror has taken upon me. Something has seized him. Something has possessed him in the reading of the Word. And the only way that we, as God's children, will tolerate the sinfulness of our day is if we quit reading the Bible. Or I could say this, the reason that we are so tolerant in our day is because we're not very good at reading our Bibles. The idea here of the psalmist is zeal. He reads the Word of God and he cannot help but be grasped with zeal by the wicked who forsake the law of God. Now, there are two zealous responses produced in us by the Word. Number one, when we read the Word of God and read of those who have wickedly forsaken the law of God, turned their back on God, forsaken God, it ought to produce in us a zealous anger. The more we read the Word, the more we should understand God's righteous anger toward sin and sinners. The more you read the Word of God, the more you actually get God's hatred for wickedness and the wicked. They have forsaken the law. They have failed to glorify God. They have to have their way. And we cannot tolerate sin or wink at sin. We must hate sin. And we must hate sin because we are zealous for the glory of God. And we are angry when God fails to be glorified. And I will hate sin in me, and I will hate sin in you. And the more we read and study the Word of God, the more we become frustrated with those who simply do not magnify God. We are frustrated when God is not worshipped and when He is not glorified. Listen to me. As believers, we ought to be bothered by sin. And why are we not? Sin should not only bother us, sin should anger us. It is an offense against the holy God. It is offense against my God. Why should we not be angry? The more you read the Bible, the more you will get angry at sin. And then not only a zealous anger, but there should also be produced in us from the Word of God a zealous appeal. The more we read the Word, the more angry we get at sin and sinners, and the more we want to share the offer of grace to those who have forsaken the law. The more we find and the more we notice people not glorifying God, the more we want to tell them what they need to know so they can glorify God. The Word details for us the kindness and the grace and the mercy of God. Although they have forsaken the law, although they have forsaken God, although they have turned their back and had their and wanted and had their own way, God is patient, God is loving, God is kind, and He will save them if they will call upon His name. God is long-suffering with sinners. God is patient with sinners. And should we not want to share with them the grace of God? We want to share with them this forgiveness that they can have of their sins. We want to share with them this hope for eternity that we have. The Bible grips our hearts toward sinners, anger for their sins, but appeal to them for Christ. Sometimes people have anger without appeal. They just get angry at sin, but they don't appeal to the sinner with grace. Others have appeal, but they have no anger. We need both. And the reason we don't have both is because we don't read our Bibles. The more we read our Bibles, the more angry we will be at sin, and the more we want to share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number three, the Word not only gives us a promised hope and a passionate heart. And let me just say this before I go on. If you ever feel cold toward sinners and cold toward sin, just read your Bible. That's the answer to that. If you ever feel like you're beginning to tolerate sin and not be angry at sin, read the Bible. If you ever feel like you're growing cold on sharing the gospel with sinners, read your Bible. That will replenish that in your soul, amen? It will give your heart a passion for that. Number three, the Bible, the Word of God, gives us personal habits. 54 to 56. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Notice the word there, pilgrimage, and also the word night. Pilgrimage and night, those are places and times of loneliness and difficulty and hardship and need. Despite the pilgrimage, despite the loneliness, despite the difficulty, despite the hardship, despite the darkness of the night, the reading of the Word of God has generated in this psalmist two personal habits. Number one, a song of praise. Reading the Word has put a song in his heart and on his lips. In great affliction, he sings the praises of God. You ever been around people, they're in great crisis, great affliction, and they're just down, their heads are down. Well, I'll tell you what, I just can't praise God right now. I'm just going through this hard time. You know what they haven't been? They haven't been in the Bible. They've let the difficulties divide them from the Bible. Because the psalmist says here, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Now let me ask you a question. Isn't God worthy of praise no matter what we face in this life? Isn't He God worthy of our praise no matter what we face in this life? As we journey as foreigners in this strange land, as we are misunderstood and as we are persecuted and as we are tried and as we go through strange and difficult things, even the chastening hand of God, should we not have a song on our lips because we have been deep studying and reading the Bible about this great, wonderful, awesome, stupendous God we have? When I don't have a song, I haven't read my Bible. Because if I read my Bible, I don't have to read very far before I have reason after reason to praise God despite what I'm going through. Amen? God has reached down in His grace and mercy and has touched the very heart of a desperate, wicked sinner and saved him by the mercy and grace of God, has rescued me from a devil's hell, has taken me from darkness and put me in light, has set me on a rock of Jesus Christ, has promised to come and get me and take me home. Don't tell me I don't have a song to sing. No matter what we go through, we have something to praise God about. Habit number one, he read the Bibles and he had a song of praise. Habit number two, he drew strength from prayer. I have remembered thy name, O Lord. When? In the night. In the night. You know, bad things happen in the night. Both my kidney stones happen in the night. I don't know what it is, but kidney stones kick in about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Have you ever been wide awake, thinking about your troubles, thinking about the uncertainty of future in the middle of the night. The psalmist here is awoken. And sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about things and trying to contemplate things, thinking about troubles and trials and things like that, thinking about church problems and things like that, boy, I say, I wish I had somebody to talk to. And I look over and Denise is asleep. And I can hear Justin sleeping. And Molly's asleep. And there I am, just me. Can't sleep, troubles on my mind, don't know what to do. Nobody awake for me to speak to. Nobody awake for me to cry upon their shoulder. But there is. Because the psalmist has been reading the Word of God, because the Word of God has been filling the heart of the psalmist, because God has been speaking to him through the reading of the Word in the middle of the night when everybody's asleep, when there's no one to talk to, no one to listen to him, he remembers his name. And he prays. And he talks to God. He speaks to God. He tells God how he's feeling. He cries on the shoulder of his Heavenly Father. And what's he say? He's strengthened because he prays to God. In the loneliness of the night, no matter what time of the night and no matter who else is asleep, there's one who never sleeps and never slumbers. There's one who's always awake. There's one who always hears. There's one that always is desiring to hear your voice speak to him. Remember his name. Oh, Father, would not our lack of praise and would not our lack of prayer come from the lack of time we spend reading the Word of God? You see, there are times that I have woke up in the middle of the night and forgot about God altogether. You know why? I allow the trouble to separate me from reading the Word of God. Because if I had read the Word of God, I would remember in the middle of the night, there's someone who cares. There's someone who cares. The Word of God is wonderful. Because it gives us a promised hope from a God who has absolute power and authority to bring everything He promises to pass. So we have confidence and we have comfort in the promised hope that we find in the Word of God. The Word of God is wonderful because it gives us a passionate heart, a passion for anger towards sin, and a passion for appealing to sinners with the hope of Christ. And then it's wonderful because it gives us personal habits. As we read, we are reminded that we have such wonderful things to sing about, wonderful things to praise God about. And in our loneliness, we have one who is always there, ready to hear us no matter what, and we can pray to Him. You see, every one of those, hope, the passionate heart, the personal habits of praise and prayer, where do they come from? They come from the Word. And they are enhanced through the Word. No wonder the devil, even through preachers, attacks the Word. Because it is so beneficial. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the message to your people's hearts tonight. Again, I am praying that you will give us a love, a desire, a zeal for your Word, to read it, to study it, and to reap the benefits of it. The encouragement we receive from it, the sanctification we get from it, the praise that is is birthed in our hearts, for our lips, the songs that we have to sing of you, the prayers that we can offer to you in the middle of the night, the passion for sin and for sinners, and the hope that we have of future glory. I pray that we would not let foolish men, discourage us from reading and believing in its entirety every single word of Scripture. It is your word. I believe it all. Even those parts that foolish men say there's no historical evidence of. My belief in the Bible doesn't hinge on historical evidence. My belief in the Bible hinges on my absolute, complete trust in a God who cannot lie, in a God who is perfect. And so give me confidence and comfort in the hope that is contained in your promises. Give me a passion for the lost and anger against sin. Give me habits of praising God no matter what I go through, and praying to God in the loneliest hours of my life. And give me those through the reading of your word. I ask and I pray in Christ's name. Amen.